Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Whoa, this is Lori in California.
Hello, Lori.
Hi. I'm getting, let me calm down for a moment. What I've noticed is with all three of the content areas, the bottom line keeps coming back to my not being adequate to this life. And so I'm making one of the things I'm changes I'm doing is every day I'm adding to a list of evidence that demonstrates that I'm adequate.
Good for you. And you're recording them, aren't you?
And I
you're listening to them, aren't you?
I am. Actually, it's more what I found with the recording and listening is I need the part who needs to listen needs the warm, reassuring, sort of not stating the facts kind of person, but a warm mom kind of a person. So reading off, you know, this is you know, demonstration of my adequacy, it kind of doesn't go anywhere when I listen to it.
Well, then I would suggest that's because of who's listening to it. And perhaps who's recording it. So give me one of them, Lori. Give me one of them. Okay.
Let me
get your evidence kit out here.
My evidence kit. You'd think I'd have them all memorized. Well, I financially supported myself for more than 30 years. That's one of them.
Okay. And so what? How does that translate for you?
When I look at it and let it sink in, it's like, well, gosh, you know, I live in the Bay Area and I've lived on my own and I've paid my own rent and everything I need for more than 30 years now. And that's a lot of people can't say that. So
a lot of people living in a lot of places cannot say that. Yeah. Because they've left here to go there. That's right. And so what that really says is you are doing a great job with finances, right? You can trust yourself when it comes to taking care of yourself financially.
I'm not making money now, so it's scarier now than it used to be.
It's scarier now, but your experience is that you're going to be okay.
That is my experience. I can't deny that, yeah.
That's right. And the part who listens to, okay, it's scarier now than it's ever been because now I'm not making money because, it was okay for 30 years, that person needs to hear, it's going to be okay. It's always been okay. We're going to be okay. We're gonna do this. We're gonna get through this. Instead, right? Because what that does is truly prove your adequacy.
And the words you just used are much more what she needs to hear. Like, we're gonna be okay.
I've
supported myself for 30 years. Well, whoopity-doo.
Right.
What about now?
That's right. That it's true. That's not warm and fuzzy, right? And so you use that evidence that you're gathering, and then you turn that into how that really, what your experience of that is, and how that feels for you. Because you are okay, and you've always been okay, and things have been difficult in the past, right? There have been challenges. It's not like all the challenges just happened today, right? And so to look at that, and you know, from your list, all of the things that have been difficult and challenging, and you've gotten through them, and you've gotten stronger, and you're more capable and competent than you've ever been in your life. You're bringing far more to this than you ever have before, right? Just because you're older and because you're doing awareness practice, I can say you're wiser, okay? And so that's what all those folks need to hear, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And Lori, the thing about it is, you know, you'll make the recordings, and those voices that don't want you to live in that place of well-being are going to go, man, it doesn't sound any of that. But you just keep talking to that person who needs to hear this, and your intention, your desire to reach her and care for her is what she'll respond to.
Yeah. Yeah, just the energy of self-hate, to just keep that out of the conversation is challenging.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because the words can be okay, but there's the energy of, right.
That's right.
Like,
yep, that's right. The rolling eyes in the background.
There you go.
And so, of course, that's what practice is teaching us, right? All right, that system hates you. Mm-hmm. And it wants your energy and it wants you to fail. Okay, great. That's why we don't give any attention to it.
Yeah.
Mhm. And that's why we're increasingly learning to live in these recordings of what is true and what is so. Because there's going to be a conversation in the head. And it's either going to be that negative conversation of self-hatred, or it's going to be a conversation about what's true and what's real. And when we look at the young parts of us, the emotionally young parts of us, that's what they want to hear. It's okay. It's you're going to be okay. I'm with you. We're together. It's all right. We're all right. Right. And which is always true, because in the moment you're saying that, it is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a plane landed on your house, in that moment, you probably wouldn't be saying that, but that's okay. You'd be in different circumstances. And all the other circumstances, it's true. We're fine. In this moment, we're fine. It's okay. All right?
And that, I love the distinction you just made about the young part needs to hear the, you know, I'm here, it's fine, you're okay, we're okay. And not, I thought the listing of evidence, how can you refute the list of evidence? But that's not,
if that
speaks to an adult, that doesn't speak to the child.
That's right. Yeah. And we can't trust adults. No.
No. Well, we can't trust anybody, let's face it.
All right. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. You know, Sherry, the thing that I was most noting in what you were saying is that what sounds most authentic is experience. And so the recording has to be made in a way that assists us to go to our experience of okayness. And so that's what we train ourselves in when we're making the recording, because it's absolutely true that when we make a recording that's a list of evidence, for example, in this conversation, if that doesn't speak to the person who needs to hear it, then it's not going to actually assist that person. And there's an intelligence of knowing how to make that that there's a resonance factor, right, that we can calibrate to. Either it's working or it's not working, right?
Right.
And then,
go ahead, sorry. Well, I just want to speak to that before you go on, which is there are probably older aspects of the personality who are reassured by cold hard facts.
Exactly. And there's a calibration of, yes, absolutely. The ego doesn't want to hear it always. That's pure resistance. But there's a way in which we can know which aspect of us wants to hear what. And we can make that recording. And universally speaking, I mean, we talk about this around what I'm grateful for, right? If you list if you just make a list of things you're grateful for, you often don't go to the experience of gratitude.
Yeah,
but the things I love, but if I'm talking about what I love when I'm loving them, The recording mm-hmm. has a texture to it that's very, very different than a list.
Yeah. But when you were describing that, I thought, you know, if I'm in a say you and I or Lori and I are in a dangerous situation together, you know, there are the young aspects that do need to hear. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. You know, but then there might be somebody older who goes, well, yeah, and you know what we need to do right now is yes. So, which is I think what you're pointing at, right? That we need to be sensitive to everybody who's involved in this life experience, and we exactly. need to. The mentor is available to mentor everybody, whether they need mm-hmm. to figure out how to get that extra cash you need at the end of the month, or just reassure the little person who is responding to the anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And what I was saying about that is it's how we have the experience of the intelligence that animates all
yes.
is all,
yes.
because it has so many
yeah.
dimensions.
Yeah.
You know, it can
yeah.
speak to so many different dimensions of ourselves.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. All dimensions.
All dimensions,
mm-hmm.
yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Somebody I'm muting.
Good morning. Oh, hello. Good morning.
There she is.
Sherry.
Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
You were double muted,
goodness.
Weren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I just absolutely love what you guys were just saying, because it speaks to the experience I've been having with this new session, which is seeing someone who has been left out and having her come forward. And I know I've been doing this practice for so long, but I continue to be amazed at how much more there is to see always.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right.
As my teacher would say, no reason to be bored. Right? Anybody who is bored truly is not paying attention. Yeah.
Holy cow. It's so true and
yeah.
so beautiful. Like in this particular mm-hmm. case, and you guys were just speaking directly to that this part came forward who I've been doing my commitment is to do the two-handed recording and listening with her. But to hear the things that she's saying about how she feels like nobody's ever had time for her and nobody wants to hear what she has to say because everyone's so busy and nobody wants to hear what she has to say because it's about vulnerability and deeper intimacy. And it's so beautiful.
And she's saying it to somebody who really does want to hear her, right? And
yeah.
really does want the deepest of all possible intimacies with her.
Right. And thank you. And that's exactly what's been coming out is that this deeper intimacy, you know, there's the level of the sexual intimacy with a partner, but there's the intimacy with her that you're exactly right. That's been coming out. Like the person who's been responding has been like, oh God, honey. Oh my goodness. You have,
mm-hmm.
you have so many important things to teach us. And we're, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're
mm-hmm.
here now, you know,
mm-hmm.
apologies for, you know, but it's
right.
so true. She does
right.
have some absolutely amazing things.
Yes, and I don't know if this is part of what you're experiencing, but I suspect it is. When that happens within oneself, there's a way in which it lets a partner off the hook.
Right.
Right? Because if a partner is trying to fulfill a need we don't even know we have, that's a tall order. So
yeah.
the disappointment is going to be there because the need is not being fulfilled or the desire is not being fulfilled, but nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows how to fulfill it. And so doing the work that you're doing gets you really clear about what that is, what that desire is, And from that clarity, you can see what involves a partner and what doesn't.
Exactly. Right. And in this case, actually, what I've been able to see is that there there has been a sort of hiding or not showing up on this person's part, because the one who now I feel like I've gotten in touch with hasn't been able to be present. And I think it's working also in the sense that you're saying, in that having this intimacy with this part of myself, I suspect is going to enable me to be more that way with outside people.
Exactly so. And again, to be to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to that relationship with you, so that, because it, for instance, again, I project you'll understand this one. Starting out through life, we are open to people that we really shouldn't be open to, because we're not in touch with what's going on, and ego is just telling us that this is this and that's that and that person is that and you need to this and they're that way and that didn't happen and this is because, you know, all those stories that for most of us it takes a lot of practice to get down through those layers to realize, wait a minute, I don't want to be in relationship with myself, let alone anybody else, from ego's stories. I want to be present.
Right. Yes, exactly. And all of this practice over all these years, I'm so grateful. Like, one of the quote-unquote results is that I'm surrounded with good, loving, just wonderful people. I'm so fortunate, the people I'm around. And yet I think what you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, there's also been this old stuff that maybe is a fear of being too vulnerable that doesn't apply anymore.
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes.
Right? Like,
you can be trusted.
Yes. I can be trusted. And also, I'm surrounded by people who are just so good-hearted that there's, you know, no matter what, the vulnerability with them can also be trusted.
Yes, yes. And you want to be there first.
I want to be there first. And I think that that's what's so exciting right now, is having this, you know, what feels like this new intimate relationship with this part, who thankfully never went anywhere. Like, I'm so grateful for that, right? She's still hanging around,
waiting for you to catch up.
She's willing, and I think I just saw this. I didn't see this until just a second. She's willing to be completely vulnerable to express what's going on for her, even though she's maybe been rejected a lot. But here she is, showing up.
But here she is.
Full-hearted.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is truly something that we can be grateful for. Ego is not able actually to get rid of anything about us.
Ah, yes.
Right. It's God knows it's tried, but it doesn't work, because, as you say, that all of the aspects of us are going to be right here and available, waiting to bring us what they have to bring us, so that we can be whole. Yeah.
And it just reminds me of hearing you and Ashwini say so many times, like, life is always right here. It's always waiting for us to come to and to be open and awake to it. And these parts are just a part of life, so it makes sense. They're just like, oh, okay, you're turning on the recorder. Here I am. Let me.
Right.
Right. Like,
I want to talk to you.
Right. Without any resentment or, you know, I mean, it's so beautiful.
Exactly. Yes. And that's, Sherry, that's a critical point. Because if we run into resentment, we can know ego has slid in.
Uh-huh.
Authenticity doesn't hold grudges, isn't resentful, doesn't want to talk about what you did wrong in the past, not interested in any of that stuff. So that is a big clue for people. If somebody's running into that, you just go, okay, well, the ego has slid in here, so we need to keep working. We need to keep working to legitimately find each other.
Wow. Gosh, Sherry, I just had to just overcome this, like, gratitude, like, for, Like, I know that part is listening right now, but it's like that gratitude, like what kind of vulnerability and love that takes to show up
in
such a way is so beautiful.
Yep. Unconditionally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you too have fun.
Well,
okay.
Okay. thank you. Right. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Oh, there's so much in that conversation, Sherry, but what dropped in for me was that last part where that it's always a journey home, a journey to love, and that even if we encounter the resistance of the resistance, which is the tip of an experience, there's a way in which that is just a signal to keep going.
Yes.
Because there's that love always wants to find loving.
Mm-hmm.
And vulnerability and we'll get there. And that's, it's so evident in the empirical way in which we work with all these aspects of ourselves, where we find stuff that hasn't been able to surface that now surfaces. And we're surprised that it's been around for so long. But it has been around because I project that at some level, every vulnerable or every aspect of life in us is inherently aware of its own authenticity and is therefore only waiting for an authenticity to reflect it.
Mm. Wow.
So we never lose that what we're seeking is causing us to speak, no matter where we're stuck.
Yeah, that innocence. That innocence is guiding us home.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Seeing?
I'm just seeing so much. I saw so... I had to do the whole thing again because I went up a... something that wasn't, you know, a road that wasn't working. Well, firstly, a month isn't enough for this. It needs to be 2 months. And
at least.
Feel so,
huh?
at least. I feel so connected to Sangha as well. Completely and utterly amazing. Completely amazing. There's two things that I wanted to mention, and the second one comes from the first one. I met my partner when I was 19. We were both 19. We were really young, and I got pregnant, and we had a child. And we've been together this whole time, and we just had one child. And my partner has just told me that he's loved me and adored me and desired me, honestly, every single day. I can't think of a day where he's not. He's like a really unusual man or something. And I just turned 51 recently, and our daughter moved out. Within the last year, she moved out. And if anything, it's just, we've just gone back to being teenagers. I'm like, right, where were we? It's great. I can't believe it. I can't believe how amazing he is, accepting of my body. So when I got stretch marks, really, I had loads of stretch marks, you know, when I had Poppy. I've lived more than half of my life, and it's never occurred to me. I think sometimes when I tune into other women's discussions or what I'm supposed to be thinking, it's like, oh my God, I'm supposed to worry about these stretch marks all these years. But, you know, and he is literally, you know, you're really hot all the time. and friends, and our friends do say, they say, yeah, he really loves you. And I'm like, oh, okay, great.
It would be really hard for a voice of self-hate to come in and convince you that you are not attractive and desirable in the face of all of that evidence, right?
Yeah. And that's what I'm going to come to. And just to say, at the very beginning, when we found out it was going to be sexuality, I was like, yes, no more finances. Because finances...
Oh, right. Thank God we moved on from money.
and we can get
yeah.
to sex.
Yeah. So, oh, sorry, I said sex on sexuality, sex on the brain, God. So I was looking at what the issues were, and obviously there's always still stuff, and there's just something that I wanted to mention because I wanted to get clarity on it. So, and this happens really rarely, but when it does, it completely overwhelms me. So that's fantasizing about others. As I say, it is quite rare. And what happens is if there's somebody and they're really nice, and it's usually they've got wonderful qualities, they've got really lovely qualities, and if that person somehow communicates to me that they like me back, then that's it. That's bam. It's like a complete obsession. It really only happens every few years, but when it does, it's all consuming, and I have to work sort of really hard to, because you know, I don't mind maybe a little bit, but not all the time. It's not helpful. And so I was looking at it, and as I say, I went up a dead end, and I redid everything, all the exercises, and I just want to sort of check that what I'm seeing is that it's kind of like a projection. So you just said it earlier, and I've got it written down. It's warm and fuzzy. So I think in quotes that they make me feel warm and fuzzy because I'm getting all this amazing love. It just doesn't make sense. So what I was seeing was that even though I'm getting all of this love, sometimes and at some levels, it's not going in. It's not being allowed. I'm not feeling that love. There's still I'm unloved. There's not enough. I need more. So where I've got to is you know, providing that warm and fuzzy feeling for me right now in any moment, whatever that is, and that I'm utterly loved and utterly cared for and looked after, and I can do that to myself. And then it's just projections of qualities, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
No. I think so.
okay.
So part of it, to me, seems like the idea that if we are the right person, if we have the right yeah. relationship, if we're in love, then we shouldn't be attracted to anyone else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You should just
yeah.
only be attracted to this one man for your entire lifetime. Now that's probably not realistic, right? And so it doesn't mean that you're not going to respond to other people.
Yeah,
you know that you of course you're going to find other people attract people. There are attractive
yeah.
people, and there are people that we're attracted to, and so
yeah.
that's going to happen. It's what you do with that. That
yeah.
to me makes
yeah.
the difference. And one of the
yeah.
things that I've heard people say, and you just experiment with it, but is that response that you have, wherever you have it, can come home and be a part of your relationship with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what happens with a lot of people is, so, I mean, you've been together for a lot of years now. Now, mm-hmm. somebody else comes along and you find them wildly attractive. Well, then you have to leave your husband and get involved with this person, or stay with your husband and have an affair, because
mm-hmm.
that's just what you have to do because you're so attracted. But the
mm-hmm.
the point
mm-hmm.
is, you're really attracted, right? So you're lit up, you know, all those cylinders are firing. You're really alive. Can you bring that to your relationship with your husband?
Right. Yes. I understand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's
yes.
all that's going on, is that
right.
you're really
yes. Yes.
you're
yes.
really excited and turned on and
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Great. Great. Yeah, great.
Yeah. And you know the yeah. other thing yeah. about it, Anna, is that to you know, you may or may not want to ever have this conversation with him, but he might have some of that going too. Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And
yeah.
yet.
Yeah.
He, yeah. And yet he
yeah.
chooses to, because he's in love with you, he chooses to have all those experiences with you.
Yeah.
And yeah. So. Yeah. It. Yeah.
No. That sounds. It sounds. It's making complete sense. Absolutely. And I have. And I have done that. I think I've forgotten that I've done that. But now that you've said it, I can be more conscious and know that I'm doing it. So bringing it home, And hopefully I know that that will be the same for him. Absolutely.
Not listen to those voices, make it mean anything, you know, that you don't really feel loved or heck no. I mean, just, you know, you, the fact that you, want to eat a really healthy diet doesn't mean that when you open that magazine and there's that big old plate of that everything in you doesn't respond to it.
Mm.
Right? Because you do. Yeah. We do. But now we're at choice. Now how do I want to live my life? I don't want to cut off enjoying things because I'm afraid of what I'll do if I'm really plugged into life and enjoying life. That's not where we want to live.
No. That's really good. That's because as I say, I was confused and not properly seeing. So
And now that's just
wonderful.
Another place to explore. You know, and not to let fear, let ego's fears, shut you down in any way. All right. Well, you two kids have fun. Okay.
I know. Thank you.
Now that
thank
you have
you.
The house to yourself.
I know. Love it. Thank you. And thank you, everyone. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Anna. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Anna. Oh, Sherry, that was so fun. We're at the end of the show, so we can't elaborate on it. But to me, that what you were pointing to was how in a non-separate reality, that experience of enjoying life is enjoying all forms of life.
Yes.
Whatever form we experience it in, and that place of multiplicity, right? That there's nothing wrong with enjoyment. I think it's what Mark was talking about yesterday, that my experience is in the enjoyment of it, but I'm told that I will act, that the act is what will bring me enjoyment, and there are consequences to the action, and therefore the action is forbidden, which means the experience is forbidden.
Right.
The enjoyment is forbidden. And when we get clarity around that, we're so much freer from conditioning.
Yeah. Well, and it's the way we usually talk about this in practice is, so I'm feeling something. Ego comes in and says, oh, well, then you need to do X in order to feel. And we fail to notice that the only reason I'm getting talked to about X is because I was already feeling the feeling that ego is promising me I'll feel if I go do whatever that is. And that's
exactly
what we're catching on to. I'm already having the feeling. I don't need to go anywhere or do anything in order to get a feeling I'm already having.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then it's that mutually exclusive thing that if I have someone I love, then if I have this feeling, it means that the other experience is not a valid experience. It's always either or, not an and.
Yes. Yeah.
So much torture is the consequence.
So much torture when there can be just so much fun and goodness.
Enjoyment.
And pleasure and kindness and,
All right, so our assignment for today, do your daily practice. Cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner.
Love it.
Love it. Yes.
Love it.
We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Take care. Go happy, everybody. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.